Okay, well, good afternoon. And on behalf of the Science Board, I would like to welcome you to this session. And we look forward to your suggestions about what might be science and policy priorities for the APHA strategic planning process. My sort of brief talk is just to orient you to the state of affairs, where we are with the U.S. health status, and also what approaches have been used in improving population health. So I guess I'll be competing with someone next door. But at any rate, this disclaimer is just to remind you that the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the views of the CDC or the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. Well, the current state of health can be looked at from life expectancy, and Dr. Stephen Wolf is going to provide a little bit more information, but I just wanted to say a little bit about this particular measure. It's a summary measure of mortality, and a lot of you know already, because I know we have a mixed audience. I mean, we have scientists, and then we have policy people, and this is exactly what we wanted. So I just wanted to say that this is a good summary measure of mortality, derived by age-specific mortality rates in a population in a given year. And in the U.S. in 2011, the babies born are expected to live 76.3 years if male and 81.1 years if female. And if those babies reach 50 years of age, their quality of life or their health status is poorer than adults like themselves in other countries that are high income. And again, Dr. Wolf is going to tell you a little bit more about that. So what are we doing as a nation to improve population health? Many of you know our major national initiative, which is one of our major national initiatives. We have some state-level initiatives and we have some county-level initiatives. But at the national level, we have Healthy People 2020, which is a 10-year national health agenda that is scientifically based. And many of you know that we've had Healthy People 2000 and 2010. But what we try to do there is to develop some goals and measurable objectives with targets to achieve over the decade. And these objectives are organized within distinct topic areas. So for Healthy People 2020, the vision is a society in which all people live long, healthy lives. And what we're trying to accomplish is that people have a high quality of life and longer lives through achieving health equity, creating social and physical environments that promote good health, and promoting quality of life across all life stages. And on your left, you could see the sort of the model that we use, where we have multiple determinants of health that interact, and that these determinants are what are driving the goal, the objectives. And we have over 1,000 objectives now that address the physical, the social, and health services, and individual behavior, and biological and genetic factors. Now, those over 1,000 objectives really are categorized into 42 topic areas. And this is just a list, and many of you know it ranges from access to health services, the leading causes of death are addressed here and in the subsequent slides, as well as environmental health, educational and community-based programs, and food safety to give you an idea. Global health is included, and injury and violence prevention, health communication, health for LGBT populations, and mental health, to give you an example. Nutrition and physical activity are other topic areas, social determinants of health, oral health, tobacco use, and substance abuse. So out of all the objectives, there's 26 that we've been monitoring very carefully and more frequently. And these are the leading health indicators. And Paul looks at me. We monitor all of them very carefully, right? As best we can. And then, so we have 26 leading health indicators. And in March 2014, there was a progress update. And the good news is that out of the 26, 14 indicators show movement toward the target, or that they were improving, and that's shown by the blue and the green area. Now, the approaches that we use in public health are multiple. And so this pyramid shows you a number of factors and the types of interventions that are used to address population health. And the base of the pyramid focuses on socioeconomic factors, and then as you move up, you go to counseling, education. But at any rate, the largest population impact, as you would imagine, would be interventions that actually address the socioeconomic factors. And you've seen this probably pyramid in the American Journal of Public Health. It was published by the CDC director, Tom Frieden, and it summarizes nicely what the interventions are and what the impact is as it relates to populations. And the smallest impact is at the top, and that's focused on individuals. So an example of one of our national public health programs that has shown success both in achieving record high levels of an intervention, which in this case is childhood vaccination and age-appropriate vaccination with the oldest vaccines using a dual strategy. We've achieved not only record high vaccination coverage for the oldest vaccines, but reduced and in some cases eliminated the differences in vaccination status among young children. And these articles and this book has a chapter that outlines very nicely the impact of this dual strategy, in which there are universal interventions and targeted interventions. Universal interventions to reach the general population and targeted interventions to reach the most vulnerable, low-income populations and racial and ethnic minorities. And again, this national effort resulted in eliminating and reducing the disparities in achieving high vaccination coverage. Now, we know that more work needs to be done because our vaccination schedule for children requires us to give a number of different vaccines. And so when you look at all the vaccinations together, the vaccination of children is lower. But when we look at protection against certain diseases like measles, mumps, rubella, and so on, we have really high herd immunity. Well, in addition to what's being done now, the Robert Wood Johnson and the Kresge Foundations participated in sponsoring, if you will, a forecasting of what could occur as it relates to public health by 2030 using scenarios. And this report outlines the scenarios. I think we have some copies in the back, on the back chair, if you're interested in it. And it really looked at four different scenarios, I believe one state, three local areas, and came up with scenarios about what kind of future do we want for public health in 2030. And the most preferable scenario was a community-driven health inequity scenario, but that wasn't the most likely, according to participants at a workshop. And these participants were public health professionals. And so Paul Jarris was at that meeting. I didn't attend that meeting, and if there are any questions, but businesses use this to forecast what they would expect in the future. And this seems like a very helpful way of looking at what kind of future do we want in public health based on these scenarios. So I would like to thank you for being here, and we look forward to your suggestions about the science and policy priorities you think APHA should focus on in their strategic planning process. Thanks again. Mm-hmm.